Hey, this is Jonathan Goodman, and I have incredibly exciting news. My book, The Obvious Choice, is now available for purchase in Kindle, in Audible, and in hardcover. Anywhere that you find books, please go on Amazon, please go to whatever bookstore you like, buy yourself a copy, buy a copy for a friend. Hope that you absolutely love it. Now let's get into the show. Julian, you're up, man.
What's up, John? How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man.
Tell the people who you are and who you help and what we're talking about.
My name is Julian Bird, and I'm a doctor of physical therapy, and I work with powerlifters, bodybuilders, and fighters out of a local gym called Power Build Gym. I originally was at a different gym last summer, and I transitioned to this gym. They have a really large following. They have almost 60,000 followers on Instagram, so it's been a really awesome opportunity for me. And I...
Where's it at?
It's in Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Powerlifting gym in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, 60,000 followers.
Jeez. This is a pretty affluent area, and the gym was like $2 million to open, and it's got top tier equipment. So that it's
cool
in high demand.
Yeah. That's great.
He's expanding again, which is part of my question today, but okay. I've seen a lot of success. I'm looking at hiring, and now I'm starting to think about like where I want the business to go. So okay. I want to kind of brainstorm that and get your thoughts.
Okay. So where are we starting?
So historically, I've had a tough time with Instagram for a couple reasons, like mainly because I thrive in person and being in my house all the time and not seeing people throughout the day is like draining for me.
Yep.
And I saw a big bump in my business when I went hybrid from being completely virtual to having a practice where I see people. And so part of me really wants to keep that, but another part of me really wants to be able to have freedom and travel.
Okay.
I also have thought about having my own physical location, like a brick and mortar practice, maybe very far in the future, my own gym that integrated physical therapy.
Okay.
But I'm not sure, like, as this gym expands, if I want to expand with them, if I want to set my sights on trying to get my own brick and mortar practice, or if I should try to go more into the digital virtual realm.
Right. This gym is okay with you doing your own thing as well as working for them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How old are you?
31.
Where is the bigger pull now? Is it business, financial? Is it travel?
That's a good question. I think as I've really like poured into my business over the past 4 or 5 months, it's definitely a lot of time that I'm spending, you know, multiple 12-hour days a week.
Yep.
Which is draining. And so I think more about getting away and like, how sustainable is this? But at the same time, I don't own a home. And I want to like really be able to pay off student debt and all of that kind of stuff. So equally, like I want to be able to have time for travel and freedom, but also to continue to build and scale this.
There are certain moments or potential experiences that we all get to have in our lives that expire and others that don't. It's something to think about. I don't know what the right answer is for you.
Yeah.
But the pull for, call it exploration, I would say, whether that's travel or not, but the pull for exploration that you're feeling, is probably not going to go away, and it's going to get more difficult for you to make the jump and to do it with every day that passes. As opposed to starting a gym and building a gym, for example. You're going to be able to do that now if your goal is to build something as big as possible. Right? The earlier you start, the bigger you'll be able to build it. And so it's a series of trade-offs. And I don't think that there's one objective right or wrong answer. But I do think it's very important to consider the nature of expiring versus unexpiring moments. And what that really means, and kind of where you stand on it. It seems to me like you have proven that you're able to do this thing. Like, that's not going anywhere. Is the student debt that you have daunting? Is it like beating you down, or is it just like, I got to get this thing away? This is like an annoying fly on my shoulder.
It's definitely daunting. I mean, it was, getting a doctorate is expensive for
Yeah.
sure. And I don't come from money, so that's also daunting, right? But I also have a lot of faith in myself to be successful. So it's like I'm also not worried about it at the same time.
And you said you don't own a place in Southern
No,
California.
I'm renting for a pretty good deal right now.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, not Southern California, in Bucks County.
Yeah.
Where do you feel the biggest pull? I mean, you're gonna have to make a decision. And the most important thing is when you make a decision, you're gonna have to be all fucking in on that decision.
Yeah, I guess like scaling, I mean, like I want to scale my business to a seven figure business. And
Okay.
like I don't know if I should. If it's realistic for me to think like, well, I could travel a couple months out of the year while doing that, or is that something that like I should get that to a point where it's almost running itself and then I can go do that, right?
How
Or is
far
that
away are
something
you
that's
from
like
that?
a that's what I don't know,
Well, like, is that something that you're like, oh, okay, I can see a clear path there? Or is it like, oh, that's the dream, but I have no idea how I'm getting there?
That the second one, definitely.
Okay. Why seven figures?
Good question. I think that not having money growing up and not being able to do anything that I want or go on vacation or travel and like also having student debt, like I just don't want to care about it at all. Like I don't want to worry at all. And I also have always wanted to have my own business and I love it and I want to like just continue scaling it.
Right. I mean, mid six figures would get you there. But I know what you mean. There's something about the word million, that just kind of, it feels like, we'll be free when we get there. Doesn't, it's just, it just, it, it's di it's a different set of problems. So what do you need? I mean, I would look at this then as a sort of priority sequence. Like, you need to scale your ability to earn income right now. Everything that I'm hearing from you points in that direction. You can tell me if I'm wrong. But every time I challenge you and ask you about the travel bit, you go back to the money bit, which is fine. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. So what are the next steps there?
For scaling,
Yeah.
working on hiring this quarter and hopefully next quarter, just building a team this year, I think
And
is
would
going
they
to be the
work underneath you out of this gym?
No, I right now I'm talking with Dre about getting a programming coach,
Okay.
and potentially a virtual assistant, someone to do like videography and marketing for me to
Okay.
help with the content side of things. I would be
Okay.
doing all calls and evals, which is like I have a three-step process. It's a triage call and then an eval sold plan of care.
Okay.
Which that's like what I'm really good at. So leaning more into that in this stage, I think is a good idea.
Yeah, it sounds like that's smart. And it sounds like that's what energizes you, and that's kind of your secret sauce too. Out of this, so where would the work actually happen then? Out of this gym, can you have other people working underneath you? Or would it have to be you doing the work? Like, could you operate your company under their umbrella? Or is it only you?
So I rent space in this gym and it's my own company and they don't get like a cut or anything like that. So
Yeah.
they don't really care what I do in there at
Could you
all.
rent space for like Eric, your assistant trainer?
I don't like theoretically, someone else could work in my office that was working for me and
Yeah.
just be there when I'm not there. Like it's a one person office for sure, but it's like I could have other people working at that place.
Yeah, okay. If you've listened this far into the podcast, I want to invite you to buy a copy of my new book, The Obvious Choice. It's available now. A lot of people have been asking me what the book's about. The central premise is that it's learning how to position yourself as the clear and trusted answer to a specific group's problems. You see, a lot of people these days are trying to become famous to the faceless, anonymous internet instead of becoming the obvious choice to a smaller amount of people who are going to buy from you. It's actually much better, much more profitable, much easier, and much faster, and much less stressful to be obviously perfect to a smaller amount of people than just okay to a lot of people who are never going to buy you. You see, you don't need to be the best at everything or chase the largest audience. You need to become the most relevant to your people. What I do is I emphasize the importance of understanding your audience's needs, meeting them where they already are, and delivering such value that choosing anyone else feels irrational. And so pick up a copy of the book. It's in Kindle, it's in Audible, it's in hardcover, wherever you find books. Hope that you absolutely love it.
They're
Okay.
also, it hasn't been officially announced, but he's expanding to another location, which could be, it's probably going to be an hour from here in Philly. And, you know, I talked to Dre about like, should I push towards expanding with him or should I, you know, he's also been the owner of the gym and the marketing director are a bit flaky and like not super reliable. And part of the reason why I have my business is so that I don't have to rely on anybody else.
Yeah.
And so there's also this thing that's like, you know, if something goes wrong, something goes south, like I want to be able to not totally rely on them.
Yeah, you want to have your own brand.
Yeah.
And so you could operate that brand under that umbrella. But if something happens there, you need to be able to pick up your brand and
Yeah,
move it.
exactly. Yep.
I mean, that's just a basic building redundancy in your business, you know, that's make sure whatever contract you sign, make sure that they don't own the IP that you're creating.
Yeah.
Make sure that you own everything and you are paying them a fee to rent their space, basically.
Yeah.
As long as that's in place, you know, you're fine. You know, they don't own your clients, any of that kind of thing. How much of your program and your service have you productized?
What do you mean by that?
How much of it is operationalized? How much of it is documented? How many elements of it could you pick up and hand to somebody else who is qualified today and they would be able to run that aspect of it?
Not many. Like I've started doing the SOPs for the programming side since that's what
Okay.
I'm looking to hire next,
Yep.
but very little. Like I've SOPs for myself, like what I do on a daily basis so that I stay on task with everything, but I don't, it's like everything. So it's not standardized to where someone else could pick that up.
I mean, that's the key to growth of a business. The key to growth of a business actually comes down to how well you choose your customers. And how much they fit into your square of competency. And it does not mean necessarily that you can't help somebody who's outside of that box. And you might decide at some point to take on somebody who's outside of your box, appreciating the fact that it's going to be considerably more work and manual, which is kind of how you're doing it now anyway. But the only way, and this is what the vast majority of people who are building any type of fitness business are missing, the only way to scale any coaching company is to productize and operationalize it so that they remove from every aspect if they need to. And the way to do that, actually, step one is to identify your pillars, identify who the program's right for, and be willing to send literally everybody else elsewhere. I mean, that's what we do with OTM, right? Our pillars, content, calls, conversations, clients, we're able to scale it because we can hire for those skills really easily. You have a success coach who really doesn't need a deep knowledge on any of those things. They're just a really good person who's a really great coach. Those are easy to find. I think ours are extraordinary, right? But there's a lot of good coaches that exist in this field that are genuinely great coaches that are so shit at business that they would die to work for somebody else. Now, and they're really good. And they're really good at what they do. But they're not going to be good at every aspect of what you do. Does that make sense? They're not going to be good at the programming and the marketing and the retention and the deeper coaching nuances of motivation and adherence, talking people off cliffs, all that good stuff. And so the steps to building a great program that scales is to identify what those pillars are. What are the maximum five, I would say three, maybe four pillars of what you do? Right? Those are the skills. Because then as you start to hire, you can hire people who are extraordinary at that one skill, like your programming coach. Like that's a start. Your programming coach, generally people in our industry who are great at programming are often not great at the social aspects of the business, to say it nicely. They're the kind of person who probably shouldn't speak to clients. Like honestly, and that's fine. I mean, you are all extraordinary and the top 1% of the 1%, because what you're able to do is inhuman. To be socially with it, to understand the psychology and be able to work with that, and the programming, and have the education, and by the way, be able to do the marketing and the sales and the retention. That's like seven humans, dude. And that's what we're trying to work with you on as you're building out this business is actually that's like seven humans. And the only way that you're going to get there is to say, who do I work with? Who do I not work with? How can I turn my service into a product? What are the pillars of that product? What are the different people that I need in order to fulfill it?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think that like breaking that down into the different pillars is something that I haven't, like I know what I help people with, but like separating those is something that I'm just starting to think about. And thinking about being more specific with who I serve and how I serve them so that that part is scalable is also something I need to nail down.
So here's the assignment then that I'll give you. Say you're working with Drea?
Yeah.
Yeah. So she'll help you with this too. Want you to think about the fit your favorite client. Call it your favorite three clients you've ever worked with. My guess is these are people who have probably paid you about the most too. It's just generally how it works. Maybe not, but probably. Well, you just felt really aligned. You're like, yeah, the stuff I was doing like really clicked. It was really what they needed at this point in their life. Work backwards from them down to What was their program like? Where did they miss the mark? Where did they knock it out of the park? And continue to work backwards into their onboarding. How do you communicate with them? How did they want to be communicated with? How did they find you? Right? Work all the way back. Map it out. You will probably find similarities. Not in every case, but you will probably find similarities. And it goes beyond demographics, right? Like, I mean, look at this call. You know, there's people from all over the world, men, women, there's younger, there's a little bit older. Like, there's people with families, there's people who don't have families. Like, all the demographic information that you could possibly imagine is just thrown out the window. But we're all actually pretty similar in our aspirations, in our approach to self-development, to personal fulfillment. Like, I'm not going to attract the type of person who wants Lambos. You know what I'm saying? So that's your assignment.
I like it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm
It gave me a
excited for
lot to
you.
think about, so.
I'm excited for you, Joe.
Thanks, John.
Then you can come visit me when you decide to travel.
Hell yeah. I'm going to Mexico next year, so.
I probably won't be here. We're probably doing a full year away next year. I'm gonna pick four towns and do 3 months each. So I don't think Mexico is gonna be one of them. Hawaii, New Zealand, Turkey, and Portugal, it looks like. We'll see.